The musicians of Malwick partnering with Albany Pro Musica in a concert of traditional Celtic and American music this weekend. The program features choral and instrumental arrangements of beloved folk music from both sides of the Atlantic. It can be seen on WMHT and online. And then online after the concert, there will be a special discussion with local experts about the artistic and economic legacy in the capital region and beyond of immigrants from Ireland and across the British Isles. Rex Smith moderates the conversation with former State Assembly member and Albany historian Jack McEnany, Dr. Elizabeth Stack, Executive Director of the Irish American Heritage Museum, and cultural and linguistic anthropologist Jennifer Crowley of the University at Albany. A lot going on. To tell us all about it, we welcome Jose Daniel Flores Caraballo, the Opalka Family Artistic Director of Albany Pro Musica. Jose, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, it is my pleasure. Thank you, John.
Always a great pleasure to have you on the program. Rex Smith is here, a board member for Albany Pro Musica, a longtime participant. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. Thank you, Joe. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you sound great.
Yeah. Oh, good. Thank you. Technology is wonderful.
When it works, it is great. And our good friend Jack McEnany is here, a part of this conversation that will be taking place following the concert, a longtime historian here in Albany and State Assembly member. Good morning, Jack. How are you?
Oh, it's good to hear your voice, too.
Well, thank you very much. All right, Jose, let us begin with you of how this particular program came about.
Well, as most people know now, of course, during this pandemic, we have not been able to offer live concerts. So we created a virtual system with the same four offerings that we normally have during a live season, except that they're all virtual. And one of these virtual concerts is this one we're talking about today, Celtic Dreams, How Can I Keep From Singing? And part of the idea was to perform with small ensembles so we could gather safely, singing at distance from each other. And in this case, we did partner with the musicians of Malwick, who are responsible for the Celtic part of the section of the repertoire for most of it, while Albany Pro Musica is focusing more in the American folk tradition that has been influenced by this Celtic tradition.
What is fascinating about this, besides all of this going on, which is beautiful and wonderful, but you are also celebrating the 40th anniversary, which obviously, probably given your druthers, you would do it under different circumstances, but here you are, and you're making the best of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We had planned a very exciting 40th anniversary season, and we had to put all plans on hold. However, we decided that whatever we do virtually needed to be using the same high standards that our audience is accustomed to. So we went big and innovative with programs that I believe our audience have been truly enjoying, and we are also very grateful that we've been able to partner with WMHT to broadcast these programs on TV.
Excellent. So it's Celtic Dreams. How Can I Keep From Singing? As we mentioned, right after this, there is going to be, after the concert online, there will be a wonderful conversation that will be taking place. Rex, you'll be leading this lively conversation as it is billed, so it's up to you to keep it lively. What do you hope to, which I know you can do. What do you hope to talk about?
Well, you know, the Capital Region heritage is very strongly Irish. In fact, even today, if you ask on the census form, as they do, what is your nationality, the predominant answer that people in the Capital Region give is Irish. In fact, almost a quarter of the residents of the Capital Region say that they are at least part Irish, which is higher, the second highest would be the Italians. So this is a significant part of our heritage. Kind of ironic, I think, that Celtic music is being represented on our program by the musicians of Malwick, named, of course, for the original settlers who were Dutch, who yielded. And the Irish, of course, started moving to this area, as Jack McEnany can tell you better, in the 19th century in large numbers. By the way, do you know, if you want to be lively, do you know which community in New York's capital region has the highest percentage of Irish ancestry?
Which community?
Yes. What do you think? You're not going to guess it.
No, I'm probably not going to guess it.
It's actually the Rensselaer County town of Schaghticoke, followed by Watervliet. Again, there's a Dutch name. So, again, a quarter of the people. So this is just an important part of the heritage of so many people in this community. And the Irish immigrants into this country particularly feel the bond to where they came from, Joe, you might think.
Yes. Well, I will say that it was a little bit of a trick question on your part, I feel, because I was thinking of what Albany community. And but I know in Schaghticoke and Greenwich and along the river, it was the mill workers coming to work in the linen mills
exactly.
That brought so many people from Ireland right on the border of Northern Ireland and Ireland. Jack, go into a little more detail about that of making up the city of Albany and that Irish migration.
Well, I took the census for the federal government in 1980, and I still remember the numbers because this was the first time that Americans were allowed to put in their ethnicity. Before, unless you were born in a foreign country, or you had a parent born in a foreign country, you were just generically listed along with everyone else. And it was amazing how people took an effort to identify with what had been their heritage, which could be their grandparents, great-grandparents, or way below that. Cahos, for example, it was French. And you know the whole history there and why you'd had disproportionate numbers of French Canadians flowing into a place like Latham, because that's uptown Cahos and so on. And one of the things about the Irish, there's a fellow by the name of Reginald Byron, he's since passed, who came over from, at that time, Northern Ireland, and wanted to write a book. He used his graduate students, one of whom still lives in this area, and the kids lived at Dick Connor's house, as a matter of fact, my predecessor in the assembly. And they wanted to find. He wanted to find out what he called anthropology. We'd call it more sociology for the Queen's University. And the reason he wanted to take the capital region was because it was one of those places where the Irish were there in literally the 1600s, the 1700s, the early 1800s, the Great Famine generation that most of my people are from, that or immediately there before. And also people that are currently coming to the capital region to this very day. And what they wanted to know was what was their attitude toward democracy, other ethnic groups, religion, et cetera, et cetera. The book is down in the Irish Museum now. It's called The Irish in America, which I never liked the title because it looked too generic. It's basically our capital region. And the top place when I took it was Green Island. They had like 41% identified as Irish or part Irish. And, they've moved all through the area. And if you look at it now, if you came over at the time of the famine, which ends in 1852, it's basically 45 to 52, you'll find you've got distant cousins in all of the four or five or six counties around us. And they've done very well, but they also came here under very trying circumstances. And you know, we look now and we talk about our people. It's near that St. Patrick's Day, the holy season.
Yeah.
But, you know, all you have to do is look at the news or on the newspaper, and you realize there are other people with different colors and different languages, and they're the same people. They're us. They're just different generations removed. And they'll be here generations past all of us, and they'll be doing very well, because that's the genius of America. And so when we do this type of celebration for one group and another time it's another, if you watch carefully, you realize it's a story from all of us, from regardless of our background.
You mentioned cousins, but boy, if one thing that my 23andMe profile has proven is, my God, do I have a lot of Irish cousins. My goodness, we're an army, for goodness sakes. Jose, let's go to the music here for a second of what people can expect from the... Now, this is 4 o'clock on the 14th. Am I correct on that? I believe I am.
And that is correct.
And then the conversation will take place right after that. And it'll be online, and it'll be on WMHT. But as far as the music component, what can people expect?
People can expect both a visual banquet as well as beautiful, beautiful music. So we have produced this with a talented crew from Chromoscope Pictures, and people will enjoy beautiful views of Scotland and views not only from Scotland, but from each country of origin, from each one of these songs, including actually when we sing some of the American folk music from the Appalachians and so on. So the program begins with The Water is Wide, with two Scottish folk songs, The Water is Wide and Maggie Lauder. Continues with McKay from American Thanksgiving, Way from Stranger, Shenandoah, the all times favorite would be featured, Rosalind Castle, another Scottish tune, Highland Port, that's a Gaelic folk song, and Simple Gifts, a Black Jock, an Irish folk song, two American folk songs, Sourdough Mountains. This one is in arrangement by an English composer, John Rutter. And we finish with an arrangement by our own Steve Murray of How Can I Keep From Singing. We wanted this program to bring a little hope on this after this horrible pandemic, and this is a beautiful poem, the crucial line that I love, which is, through all the tumult and the strife, I hear its music ringing, it ever echoes in my life, how can I keep from singing. So APM continues singing during this time, bringing hope to our community.
Again, the name of the program is Celtic Dreams, How Can I Keep From Singing? So you can see it on WMHT, March 14th at 4 p.m., so that's this weekend, and it will also be available online. You can find out about all of this if you go to their website, Albany Pro Musica's website. It is albanypromusica.org. And you can find out information. And then immediately following the broadcast, go online and you can take part in this conversation that Rex will be leading with a wonderful panel, including Jack McEnany and also Dr. Elizabeth Stack, Executive Director of the Irish American Heritage Museum and Cultural and Linguistic Anthropologist, which I wish I had that on my business card. Linguistic Anthropologist, Jennifer Crowley of the University at Albany. And that will be a wonderful program as well. Albany Pro Musica. .org for more information. Jose, Rex, Jack, I thank you so much for spending time with us this morning. I wish you all the luck in the world for a beautiful performance and conversation, and I thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Be well. Thank you. Again, you can find out more information by going to albanypromusica.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.